Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that brings together well-known friends to talk through three thought-provoking questions over three glasses, or probably in today's case, three bottles of wine. Because this week...
How dare you?
I'm joined by Dave Ferry. A man who's up with a lark at the crack of every dawn, presenting his weekday breakfast show on Absolute Radio. He's a new dad to a beautiful daughter. And to anyone lucky enough to know Dave, as I have for many decades now, the thought of Dave being a dad is both heartwarming and alarming. Because he's just really grown up.
Hey, Kate.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, pod subscribers. What an intro. It was going so well until the decades bit.
And sitting alongside Dave, he's brought in one of his best mates, a former MTV and XFM colleague, Alex Zane.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Boys.
It's great to be here.
I found some random things out about you both that I didn't know. Uh-oh. Mainly about how you were scouted and discovered. So, Alex, you quit medical school. You were doing stand-up at the Edinburgh Fringe.
I was, yeah, in 2002. Yeah, I was doing an Edinburgh stand-up show, an hour, and just completely by chance, the age-old adage, you know, part of getting on in this industry is luck. MTV were in the room, and I was there in my big sort of baggy jeans with my cool long hair, looking a lot younger than I do now. And they went, do you want to come and screen test? And I was like, yeah. And I screen tested, and I met Dave around the same time, who hadn't had to screen test, and I was immediately in competition with him. And that has existed for the following 20 years.
This is true. Now, Dave, you were discovered.
It's true.
It's funny because it's true.
You were discovered screaming the odds at Charlton Athletic match, which is where most people will find you come a weekend.
That was my medical training.
Yeah. And then you went on to work as well as a TV presenter for Nickelodeon. So you were discovered, and I've seen you in full football mode.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Why would they think you were suitable for children's television?
Well, the answer to that is I met a director at Nickelodeon who, I mean, I chant from time to time, but I'm not a really screamy, shouty football fan, to be honest.
Go on, boys.
Yeah. And then I'll just...
Nice one, chaps.
Then I'll just go, hey, pipe down, everybody.
I'm trying to watch. What,
kick that bloody ball.
You know, funny enough, I did ask this question to the exec producer at the wonderful kids television station that was Nickelodeon. And the thing that swung it for me was how I was interact with the two puppets. One was called Rude and one was called Bogey. And apparently, even though I'd done no TV at all, everyone who auditioned, models and everyone else, they would all look at the puppeteer who was obviously laying on the floor out of shot. Mm-hmm. They'd all look down. Whereas maybe it's because I have a simple childlike mind. but I was like playing with Rude's antlers. He was a reindeer, by the way. And like really kind of interacting with the puppets. And they kind of liked that I could suspend the belief, particularly for children's television. And
you were in.
I was in, yeah.
You've never stopped working since?
No.
Well done, Dave.
No. I still work with puppets now, some could say.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, right. I was like, are you gonna let that go?
I should have gauged the room a bit better than that.
Yeah, I once interviewed Miss Piggy and Kermit on the set of a Muppets movie. It is really weird when you've got the puppeteer down there.
It is. Yeah. The trick is don't look down.
No. In any situation.
So anyone listening to this, one of your many, many, many subscribers who are looking to get into television, always look the puppet in the eye.
Especially if it's called Rude or Bogey. Jesus. But listen, you two, when you first were thrust together by MTV, let me just set the scene. It's the early 2000s. MTV is the place to be. I'd worked there beforehand. It's like the nursery slopes of telly. You can do hours and hours on air. You're working with really cool pop stars and rock stars. You go to the MTV Awards. Life is good, my friend. But you two did not like each other. Dave, I'm going to quote you.
What?
You did not.
What Dave, you said?
You told the Guardian newspaper, Alex and I have been on a bumpy road to what's become a loving bromance. There's a happy ending. We overcame a period of shared dislike and even exchanged physical blows. What the?
Do you want, I mean, I'd forgotten that. Oh my God. That was at XFM. Do you want to know why? This is how competitive we are. We were doing a competition.
Well, I think we put it in the past tense.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's fair to say, isn't it?
Yeah, that is fair to say. Shut up, Dave. I'm speaking.
Look at me, Kate. Look at me.
This is how ridiculous we were and competitive we were at the time.
At the time.
The competition was to see who could hold their breath the longest on camera. And I accused Dave of breathing through his nose and cheating. And that's how it turned into a big physical stand-up in the office. There was no punches thrown. There was just a bit of argy-bargy, pushing, like, you are breathing through your nose.
May I say, though, there was some rivalry to begin with, and I think that's understandable. We were both, like, 23 years old. And
young bucks
and all that kind of, you know, toxic masculinity in the room. But I think Alex and I, and at the time we would have only been about 24, 25, and you don't even remember this, but we went into the dressing rooms at MTV and we sat and like kind of had it out and talked it through and spoke about what our issues were with and it turned out it was the issues. I said to Alex, this was my issue. This isn't your fault. I'm being an idiot. I apologise. Mm-hmm. And then, cut to 5 years later, we're then having a fight in the reception at XFM. But we've been so close. And the reason I got the job at XFM was thanks to Alex. So, I apologise to him. But there's something that I can't put a price on the fact that Alex and I have, even though we're different guys, we're different broadcasters, we've had different jobs, but to know somebody who has experienced some of the things that you have.
Yeah. Our careers pretty much have mirrored each other's in terms of the length of time, at least, that we've been doing it. And it's good, you know, we have. You do need to be able to talk to someone about everything and...
About the circus that we occupy.
There you go, Kate.
And it is.
And well, you know it as well. We'll put you into that triangle.
Listen, those glasses are looking suspiciously empty. First question, boys. If you could relive one day from your professional lives because it was that good, or that stupidly ridiculous, Dave, what day would it be?
Use a glass.
It's like a Radio 4 production, isn't it? The old man crept up the gravelly driveway.
There was a rap at the door.
Want another drink, Mama?
Oh, this could be. Join us next week when we're still talking to Dave and Alex.
This is a two-parter, right?
Three.
Relive a day from our working lives.
Just one day that you could go back.
To change the day.
Yeah.
The day I would relive to change things, and I've never told anybody this story before.
Go on, Dave.
But I took over the breakfast show on a radio station called XFM. One of the first things we tried to do was get a really good guest in, and we got Liam G. I know you know Liam Gallagher, Kate.
Liam Gallagher, yeah.
Tried to get Liam, book Liam Gallagher, and
which is frisky when you're live.
Well, we didn't do it live. This was the thing. We pre-recorded it after the show, so I'd done a couple of live shows, and then Liam came in on like the Wednesday morning at like 10, and we pre-recorded this interview with him, and it went really well. And I went for a beer with him, and I'm a massive Oasis fan, so it was kind of like a great thing for me to do. And then my friend called me, and he was kind of like, oh, are you out and about? Because they knew that a lot of my friends know I'm around in the daytime, effectively. Which is where all the troubles began, to be fair.
Is that what we call them?
Yeah,
the troubles.
No one speaks of the troubles anymore, of course. I'm a changed man. So I go out with my friends. And then, the following day, I wake up and I'm kind of looking around the house and it's daylight and I'm kind of coming to and I'm blinking a lot and I'm thinking it's really bright for 5 o'clock in the morning, which is when I normally get collected.
Ooh.
And 4 days into this brand new breakfast show, I've overslept and missed it.
So, oh my God, no, didn't it?
No, it gets worse than
I'm
that.
I'm hiding under my turtleneck.
So I call my producer and I'm like, oh my God, I am so, so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. And he says, what are you sorry for? I said, I can't believe I've missed the show. This is so unprofessional. And he said to me, you did the show.
Oh! You were properly Liam'd.
I only went for one beer with Liam. I can't blame him. It's me. I'm the problem. I did the show. Because we had all of the Liam stuff pre-recorded, we were playing that out. And apparently I was perfectly capable of going, and this is what happened when I caught up with Liam. And that was all I had to do, which is low-hanging fruit for any broadcaster.
Yeah.
Did that. I said, I feel a bit ropey because I'm hungover. Apparently I got a taxi home, went to bed, and I woke up about 1 o'clock in the afternoon and just was so befuddled by my state that I called in and apologised for not doing the show.
And you had.
And I had.
I almost got away with it. It wasn't for you pesky drinking in the day.
Drinking in the day, which is what we're doing right now. But in fact, we should probably open the second one.
Have another one. Come on. I was hosting New Year's Eve at the O2 with Elton John. And Elton wasn't in the finest of moods because he hadn't been able to land his helicopter due to bad weather. All sorts of things. Anyway, Elton was just trying to, you know, get on stage, do his set. But obviously we had to hit midnight because I was counting it in on Greenwich Mean Time. You know, that's So anyway, Alan decides, right, he's just banging out these songs and he decides it's going to get to New Year early. I'm going...
What, he's like speeding them up because he's,
so he's literally,
in a
bad mood.
He's at the piano
and he
goes... Happy Dog Man,
he starts Auld Lang Syne early thing.
Okay, so it's 5 seconds to New Year. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And you know what it's like when you're on live, you're live, and they're in your ear, you've got a live gallery and they're going, no, you can't. And I was like, oh, so I think I went on and said something like, Elton, that sounded so good. Let's do it again.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice. Okay, let's start the countdown, everyone. Ten. Nine.
Really slow.
7 minutes.
I remember he can get like that, Kai, can Elton. There was a bit.
I love him, though.
He's fantastic.
I love him.
He'd been waiting for ages because premieres are a long thing. And I was doing the Rocketman premiere. And... everyone on stage was talking, and he was the final person to bring out because you bring out Elton last, and you could hear him in the wings because he'd been waiting for ages. He goes, "Can you stop talking now, you?"
Please tell me you kept that.
Yeah,
yeah, great.
And my favorite day at work was meeting my idol, Burt Reynolds. Yeah.
Oh, the late, great Burt Reynolds.
The late, great Burt Reynolds.
You've got a Smoking the Bandit poster in your house, haven't
got
you?
Got a Smoking the Bandit poster in my house. Yeah, when I was at school, this is going back to when I was like 7 years old. This is how long I'd loved Burt Reynolds, ever since I saw Smoking the Bandit. We were once asked to put the name of a historical figure in a hat, and other people would pick them out, and they'd write an essay on them. And the teacher pulled out Burt Reynolds and went, "Who wrote this?" And I misread her tone, and I was like, "It was me!" And she went, "Detention!" But yeah, I met him in LA.
Again, big loss to medicine.
Now, I met him in LA.
Oh, wow, so what was he like?
He was amazing. We had this great interview, and at the end of the interview, he goes, "Listen, that was a great interview. I'm going to remember your name. What is it?" And I'm like, "It's Alex Zane." And he's like, "Alex Zane, that was a great interview. Thank you very much." Following day, completely by chance, walk into a bar on Sunset Strip and Burt Reynolds is in there with some friends, and I walk in with my friend and I'm like, "Listen, I don't want to be, you know, the big guy here, but I kind of know Burt Reynolds." And my friend is like, "No, you don't." I'm like, if we go over, he'll know who I am. And my friend goes, "Right, let's do it." So we go over, and I'm all
my
embarrassed.
Thumbs are curling already.
And I'm like, "Hey, Burt, how you doing?" He's like, "Hey." I'm like, "Yeah, so we met yesterday. I interviewed you." And he went, "That's right, yeah. Alan, isn't it? Alan Zone." And forevermore, my friend has called me Alan Zone.
Alan Zone. We should set up an Instagram account called Alan Zone.
Alan Zone's brilliant. Dr. Alan Zone.
Thank you.
Dr. Alan Zone.
What I wanted to know from you both is, when was the first time that you ever truly felt like a fully blown adult?
Whew. When? I'm waiting for that to happen. Okay, I'm sure people have said that on the podcast before. One thing I have noticed, and with doing the dad pod, one of those milestones of adulthood is obviously when you become a father or a mother, and
otherwise known as a parent.
A parent. But one of the
what? Alex just snorted wine.
He did what?
Yeah. A father or a mother
incoming
or
a
parent.
It's like being on Pointless, isn't it?
thank you very much indeed.
You can be my celebrity teammate on Pointless if we ever do it. God, a mother
first.
A father.
I only lasted till the second round on Pointless.
I'm good at Pointless anyway. I don't digress. You two are being horrible.
Yeah, grow up, Alex.
Anyway,
yeah, sorry.
Anyway, nothing makes you feel more unlike an adult than becoming a parent, which is when you're meant to be an adult.
Yeah, because you're just terrified.
It's just, I don't know what I'm doing. Where's the adults in this situation? Come
on.
Did
you feel like that?
I felt like I could, even down to the simplest thing of like, I was an expert swaddler in the hospital. I could swaddle my daughter because I knew that there were very capable, wonderful NHS nurses around the place who would go, "Sorry, Dave. let me re-swaddle. But I was an expert swaddler. But no, it's, you know, that those all those things that you think, oh, this is fine. My parents did this, their parents for them, etc. We can do this. And it just kind of, you feel so so ill-prepared and exposed.
Totally, it's like, I feel like when I have to have adult conversations, like when you're in the bank and you're talking about remortgaging, I think at some point they're going to go, so you want to remortgage? I'm like, yes, please, I'd like to remortgage. They're going to suddenly go, you're not an adult. You're okay, an imposter.
If you pop off and get your mum, we'll talk about the remortgage for
God
you.
God sees him.
Who do you bank with?
I bank at a maximum security prison.
Imperial Bank.
Yeah, they're also dun. But yeah, the most adult I felt is recently, because while I'm not a mother, father, or parent, I do have...
And you have every right to be all three of those things one day, my friend.
Especially with your drag.
Thanks very much.
You're
welcome. Yeah, check out
Did we have that conversation off air? Because if so, you're going to need to contextualise that, Kate.
We have explained briefly.
Especially with your drag.
I'm not in drag right
Thanks
now.
Thanks for downloading, everyone. Goodbye.
Alex does like to occasionally slip into something ladylike.
Every Halloween, I answer a lot of questions that I ignore for the other 364 days of the year. So, yes, that's my therapy.
What are they? Why is Dave trying to hump me?
But I recently got a new puppy, a little blue.
Oh, so adorable.
Yeah, a little blue whippet, blue whippet puppy. Right,
like
so.
Grey.
Right.
Thank you. Not like a Smurf dog, right?
Thanks very much, because I've been calling it.
Tell him his name.
His name is Simon, and I've called him Simon, yeah.
I like human names for dogs.
Thank you.
My friend has a dog called Nigel.
That's great, yeah. We called him Simon because we want to be standing in the park shouting, Simon! Simon! And people be like, have you lost a child? I just think...
When was the last time a child was named Simon, though? That's the thing you ask yourself.
That's true,
Are there any children listening or parents listening right now who are called Simon or have named their children Simon?
I tell you what, really, kids' names and dogs' names are swapping over. Dogs are taking human names and kids are getting names like Tiger.
Isn't that how the Planet of the Apes started? Or no, I'm confused.
Okay. About Planet of the Dogs, yeah.
Stop giving away our big ideas.
Sorry. Okay, we've come on.
Stop talking about Planet of the
Basically,
Dogs.
If any film producers out there want to remake Planet of the Apes with dogs, Dave and I have got a script that we're working on. Thanks.
I've watched all the talking dog films with my son.
Well, there you go. This is right up your
Beverly
street.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Are you kidding me? Bloody brilliant.
I watched Beverly Hills Chihuahua 3 with my niece Alice. Brilliant.
It's great, Dave.
Alex, you're a film critic. Yeah. Tell us about Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
This is the most airtime the Beverly Hills Chihuahua franchise has got in a long time.
No, but do you know what, Alex? So my son's like, oh, look at that, Mum. This looks great. Well, this is when he was much younger. And I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. If it buys me like 90 minutes of not having to do something, great. Let's watch it. And then you get yourself sucked in. And then I find myself going, shouting upstairs to him, Ben, Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2's on. Come down now.
Look what Santa downloaded for you from Sky.
It's like when people watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy back to back. You do the same with Beverly Hills Chihuahua 1, 2 and 3. Yeah.
Bloody classic.
It's the same story arc.
It's a redemptive arc, particularly for the Great Dane.
So the dogs made you feel like a fully blown.
Well, it's just, I mean, for me, what's happened is it's been amazing. We've had him for 2 weeks and it's astonishing how quickly you go from alphabetizing your DVD collection to cleaning up dog shit at 4 a.m. So, yeah, it's been a real eye opener.
Yeah.
He's beautiful and I'm massively in love with him in that scary way. Like films that... films.
Oh, look at Simon. Yeah, Simon. I saw Simon on your
Instagram. By the way, that's Alex's Instagram, not my own. I haven't been sneaking in and photographing my friend's dog.
Do you want to see some photos of Dave's kid?
Alex, you're 2 weeks into being the parent of a dog. Dave, Evangeline is now what, 7, 8 months?
She's 10 months.
10 months?
Yeah, her birthday's on the 5th of December.
Has it dawned on you yet that this is forever and there's no let up, there's no weekends, this is it?
It has. But I'm really pleased about that. I think that just how much she has changed since she was born is quite remarkable. And one of the pieces of dad advice that I got was kind of about savouring every moment.
So true.
And, you know, you even mentioned that, Kate, when we were walking into the studio today. it just how quickly it changes.
Evaporates, actually.
Yeah.
So and you have a kid and they fast forward your life.
But there's things that I...
I'm not going to lie. This is making me not want to have a kid.
Oh, this is the best contraception you'll ever find.
Well, no, I'm everything I say, maybe I'm the tone isn't right because I've had a bottle and a half of Chablis. But I mean this in a kind of positive way, as in that I'm really looking forward to the adventure that we have together going forwards.
You're
going to
love it, Dave.
Yeah, no, and I'm really loving it now. But what's so fleeting about it is the moment, a moment that you really love and you're like, oh, she's doing this now. You only get to hold on to that moment for probably a week.
Totally.
And then, by the time I finish this, I'll probably get home and she'll be smoking in the doorway going, all right, Dad. But like, oh, you were crawling a moment ago.
That's so sweet.
But you're right what you say, Al. They can bend time. Babies have the ability. I've put something on pause before and gone, I'll just go and check on Evangeline. And Evangeline's doing something. And then by the time I get back, it's 3 days later and the TV's gone into that standby countdown mode, which always unnerves me. It's weird. It's like it's you want to cut a wire on a bomb whenever you see that TV going. Like, I'm going to turn off automatically.
It's like Logan's Run. It's like what happened to us at MTV. Like a red spot goes off in your hand and you're just dragged away, and then someone who looks a lot like you is replaced immediately with you on camera.
We believe your age is going to start with a 3 soon. So
yeah. In telly. I'm going to have to take you out now because you're too old to be here.
It's awful when they do that on air. Mid-show. I'm sorry.
Very Charlie Brooker, that whole thing.
We should put some phone lines around it and turn it into a public vote. Yeah. Save Alex. Call 0800.
Hearing Kate say that as well gives it a real menacing kind of sincerity and reality, doesn't it?
I should do one of those, like, so who's been saved? The results are in. I feel find like out. After the break.
Oh, God.
There you go.
You've taken my Logan's Run analogy.
Elton John's gone, is it my turn now?
I feel like we're in some awful dystopian future.
New Year in early, Dave.
You hate Thornton hosts a show where former MTV presenters are assassinated by someone who calls in.
Elton John can bend time as well as kids. He just starts New Year early every year. It's getting earlier and earlier. You know, this year was shorter than every other year because Elton John started Auld Lang Syne in October.
With this and dog Planet of the Dogs, we're going to be millionaires.
We don't need to work again. We're sorted. I'm booking 3 seats to Los Angeles. Let's go pitch.
Hey, do me a favour. Would you say, like, this is Planet of the Dogs?
This is Planet of the Dogs.
See?
There you go. It works. It just works.
I just heard my bank account.
Well, I think we've established from your responses to that question is
nothing.
You're not adults.
Absolutely nothing.
The question started with, when did you feel like an adult? And ended with, Planet of the Dogs. Good. There you go.
We deep dive my love of Beverly Hills Chihuahua 1 and 2.
A deep dive on a Chihuahua.
I don't know that any of us really should have bank accounts, driving licences.
No.
Or children, Dave.
What I will say is it's interesting you talk about having Simon, having the dog and having a baby. And these are the real broad strokes. But I find it's, if you look at those kind of, you know, landmark moments that would define you as an adult or where you're supposed to feel like an adult, like having a house. But it's not so much having a house or having a home, whether you've bought it, been fortunate enough to do that or rent it. It's when you find yourself in Wickes buying light bulbs. And it's like, why am I suddenly now that person? It's not the home ownership or even the remortgaging. It's the, I used to run around those big reels of carpet here. That seems like yesterday because my dad was like, you're 26, get a job. But no, I used to be running around these as a kid with my little sister. And now I'm in here buying light bulbs because I know that my light bulbs are going to stop working. And now I've got to think about that.
And Dave, you do that meerkat thing of when you're at home and you're just busy and then they go, the Wick sale's now on. You're like, really? Shit.
10% off laminate flooring.
Got furniture.
Even though I've already got a floor. I'm actually still on the floor I've already owned, but I'm going to buy more floor. Okay. What's the final question, Kate? Because I am wasted.
I want to stick with the parenting vibe, Dave.
Good.
By the way, Sarah Jane and my daughter are at her parents.
They have left.
And I'm here because I've got nowhere else to go. And I haven't seen Kate in ages. No, they're away. So they're away. What I mean is we're going to be doing more of this after we've done this.
Brilliant.
So before, if anyone thinks I'm a bad parent.
You're on a day off.
Yeah, but they wouldn't think I'm a bad parent because I'm the host of the very popular Dad Pod and I'm a good dad. The only reason they think I'm a bad parent is because of you, Kate, the host of this show, where Alex, everything ends with kind of like, come on, Dave, that's a bit of a fucking surprise, isn't it?
Alex, would you say that my comments towards Dave as a grown-up and slash parent were unwarranted?
No, I think they've been very astute.
Thank
to be
you, Alex.
I can't believe you've caused the great falling out of 2019.
Punch up number three.
I've never heard someone call it so well, actually.
Thank you. Okay,
as one of his best friends, frankly, we were shocked.
Better source.
So when does the intervention start?
Now. Okay, so sticking with the parenting vibe, your last question. Let's turn it to your own parents. If you could apologise to your parents for anything past, I'm assuming.
I think they need to apologise to us.
What would it be?
Wow. My first lie, which I ever told, I remember I was 5 years old and in primary school, I came back after my first day.
What about knowing Burt Reynolds, is it?
And I told my mum, was like,
Alan Zone.
Mummy, I'm Alan. No, you're not.
My mum was like, how was your first day at school? And I was like, great, there's a trampoline in the classroom. We just played on that for a lot of the day. And she was like, oh, okay, fine. There was never a trampoline in that classroom. And for months, she thought there was a trampoline in the classroom. And it was only when she went into school and went, oh, you've got a trampoline, that's nice. And the teacher went, we don't have a trampoline. She went, what? And I honestly, it was such an obscure lie. I think even at five, I was testing the parameters of what you could get away with as a lie and still have someone believe you.
That's so
quite
endearing.
That's quite large.
It's so kitchen sink. It's so Kez, the boy with the imaginary trampoline.
But you know, it was like if I'd gone home and gone, oh, we've got.
It's like, I am Daniel Blake. Jesus, I'm so upset right now.
I love that that's what you've isolated. I mean, for me, it's all of my teenage years. I just want to apologise for that.
Oh, okay.
But you've just gone for a simple trampoline.
I was quite a good teenager, though. Like, I was the only kid at my 2,000-pupil comprehensive school who carried a briefcase. So if you can imagine that, you can imagine a less badass kind of teenager.
Well, let me give you a measure of the man. The briefcase may be gone, but the bag that was, he's got two, not one, but two bottles of water in there.
Should never get dehydrated. Have you read the signs on the tube? They do say always carry a bottle of water with you.
Yeah. It's great. Kate, I think you've hit the nail on the head, really. You know those moments, and they're usually driven by alcohol, unfortunately. And I think it's important we do say do drink responsibly and
we
all
do,
of those
at the
kind
end
of things.
Every podcast.
Yeah, and I think that's But the issue is, you know, there's those moments that where, you know, they can come back and haunt you years later, you know, when you've done something and you'll just be walking down the street innocently and you'll just suddenly like shudder with a memory like crawls into your mind, like the girl in the ring out, you know, from the TV.
Sorry, I thought it was some niche club you'd been to at night with a girl in the ring.
When you isolate it like that, it sounds so wrong.
But make sure you do when you edit.
The only moment, if you want those kind of anecdotes, I've got some.
I know you have.
No, we are keeping it nice. The only moment that wasn't kind of fueled by my own stupidity as an adult that I really regret, and this is what leads to the apology to my parents, is, as you said, Kate, just that being such a little bugger as a teenager, and like my parents worked so hard and like, to take us on holiday. We apart from once when we went to Italy, we holidayed in the UK. It's what we could afford. It's what my parents wanted. And I've got a little sister, and they would, you know, they and it would be a little break for them. And I loved it. And I've got so many happy memories. But I genuinely have got that moment when you hit about 14, and it's like I just don't want to be here, and I'm gonna be. But I have what's
you're
nice.
Be a mood hoover and trash that
a
holiday.
Mood hoover is a great term. But I have apologised. I feel that it's good to talk about this, knowing that I have gone to mum and dad. I'm sorry that I was like that as a teenager. They totally understand. They don't care. Horribly, they didn't even notice. I'm like, why won't you notice me? And then I stormed up to my room and wrote some poetry. And my dad was like, you're 26. Stop running around the carpet aisle and writing poetry. This is a Radiohead. It's embarrassing.
Get a job.
But no, but.
And the three don't go together either. You can't listen to Radiohead, run around carpets, and write poetry. Pick one, Dave.
Fake plastic water.
No, Richard.
But I'm glad that I did get to make the apology. I I have apologised on press. I'm pleased.
I've spent my entire adult life making up for
but cringing, self, yeah. cringing those at those times. Yeah,
and yeah. I'm sorry about the trampoline, Mum.
The trampoline. I used to like brazenly just like try to style out massive lies. There was one occasion where I was not. My mum and dad always used to go to the Haymaker on a Friday night, which is the local estate pub.
Ooh.
And we weren't really supposed to have loads of friends around, but I did. And I was banned from using the phone. You know those old dial phones? So I used to tap out like Morse code to ring my mates and go, they're out, come round, right? So I had all my mates round. My brother decided to just like turn up because like he lived there, as he did. And I was like, well, you can get lost.
Don't have a go at him, he's only 12.
I know, he was literally only 12, yeah. right? 12 or 13. So he'd annoyed me. He started playing his trumpet or something. So I threw one of my very stylish cowboy boots down the stairs at him because that's how we used to communicate. And it ducked, right? And it hit our really bad double glazed front door, which had. Do you remember those that double glazing that had patterns in? Ours was leaves.
Oh, yeah, we had that on our front door in the windows.
And I just threw it at him, and then I just saw the glass grow. Like, it was like a cartoon moment. The glass just went. And the whole door cracked. I thought, shit, what am I going to do? When they got home, they were like, oh my God, what happened? I'm like, to what? And you know when you just try to pretend it hasn't happened, the door, like, oh my God, how did that happen? And my mum said, my dad would go, well, she's genuinely confused, Sandra. Like, always saw the good in me. And my mum was like, you little lying son of a mum.
Yeah, and no, so I know what you mean.
I was like, oh, here we go, grounded again.
So I like the fact that that story involves the fact that the cowboy boot was really stylish.
And
also, well,
that's what I took from it.
When you told the moment of it flying down the stairs and hitting the glass, I was going to smash one of the empty bottles against the wall because I can't get out of that mindset. We're doing a Radio 4 production.
We're already at Radio 4 in your head, aren't we, Dave?
So ultimately, did you get away with it though? Like, who?
No,
so your mum, basically,
my mum isn't stupid.
Did you blame it on your brother?
Because that's what I would have done. I'm like, I'm totally with you. It's like, blame the sibling.
It's the only reason to have a sibling, yeah. isn't it? To blame. Are you an oldest?
I'm the eldest. Yeah,
eldest.
But
how did you not know this? This is route 101. Like how to deal with anything bad that happens. They did it, and they're too young to argue.
I was like, Alex, I was horrible. I would throw literally loved ones under a bus to save myself.
Not literally. Don't say literally. You put literally in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
There was no bus. It was just glazing.
Yeah.
But you know, my mum.
That was a hell of a walk to school.
I literally threw loved ones under the bus.
Well, no, but my mum would come upstairs and go, let me just get this right, Kate. Nothing happened, but the front door cracked. I was like, yeah. She's like, really? Oh, really? And my friends used to call her Crystal and Alexis, right? Because she was like, you never knew which one you were going to get.
Dynasty?
Was she?
Dallas?
Dynasty. Were you going to get Crystal or Alexis? I had them all in one. I was like, shit, what am I dealing with here? Is it Crystal or is it Alexis? Am I going to go face down in a fountain and be beaten up on a driveway? Or not that my mum ever beat me. But yeah. The front,
not literally.
Not literally.
Right.
But yeah, she could always call me out. Whereas my dad was like, well, Sandra, sometimes these things happen. You know, he was looking for the good.
I went through a snowball. Yeah. Me and my then girlfriend in like 1997, maybe. I threw a snowball at the house window and it smashed. And it was just me and my girlfriend.
Your house or her house?
My house. And we'd been together probably 2 weeks. And my mum looked out of the window furious. And instinctively, I just pointed at her. And did like, but kept it there for a while. I didn't like take it down. I was like,
So, gents, you're both hosts of your own fine podcast. How's this one been for you?
Amazing, actually. I've had a great... No, it's been really good. Thanks for having me on, Kate. No, genuinely, I've had a blast. I've never drunk as much wine in such a short space of time. That's a lie.
Honestly, I can't say enough good things about Dave's new podcast. I've listened to all of the episodes that have been uploaded. You've got Rob Beckett on there. You've got Emma Willis. You've got Dad of Daughters.
Simon Hooper, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably... just like a bit of a hero in your eyes because he's got four
kids, yeah, and also he's a fundamentally why we started the series with him is he's a working dad, and it's how he's not an influencer, he hates that term, and it's how he and he's campaigned for things like nappy change of facilities in gents' toilets
at
places, and so he was a very interesting guy to talk to. But thank you for listening to it, Kate, and it has been lovely being here. So thank you.
Oh, good. And Alex, your podcast. Mm-hmm. is available in all good podcast outlets, yeah?
That is absolutely true, yeah. All of them.
Clash of the Titles.
Clash of the Titles.
Go see what he does with that.
Yeah. So which you did Dread. You did Dread at the time of record. Dread's one.
Yeah, Dread versus the Raid. Before that, we did The Fog and the Mist. So yeah. Things, you know, like The Fog and the Mist is like evil clouds. So they've got to have a hook.
But which,
like
something in which Dread film was it? The
Oh, the new, not the Sly Stallone one.
No, the Sly Stallone was awful. But the one with the guy from Star Trek. Is that the one you've
Carl
done?
Urban, yeah.
The guy that's such got, a great film.
It's a brilliant film.
I know you think I'm here, but I've left.
It's a podcast for movie fans. Clash of the Titles. I'll let you breathe that name in, but it's really
Clash
good.
Clash of the
it's
Titles. Very good. So if you are as nerdy as these two when it comes to all things movies, pop your earphones in and download. As always, White Run Question Time has been produced by Caitlin Mercer for Yahoo UK.
Woo, Caitlin!
You got me.
No!
And he started this saying he wasn't a chanter at football matches. He saves it for podcasts.
This is how he got into
There's only one guy.
As always, you'll love this, Dave. Our music has been provided, crafted from the fine brain of Andy Bell.
Oh, Andy Bell, former Oasis guitarist, current Ride guitarist, bassist, and all-round wonderful human being.
Totally. Couldn't have said it better. If you want to check out Andy's back catalogue with Ride, Oasis, or his new solo project, you should listen to it as well, Dave. It's really interesting.
Oh, I didn't know he had it. Okay,
Dissident.
Good. I will.
Really, really good.
Lovely.
So thank you to Andy. And please try to do as we've not. Drink responsibly.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Who does that? Who invites someone for three bottles of wine and then goes, now drink responsibly?
Should we have a sandwich? Yeah. Should we eat something?
That's not going to help.
Let's go to prep.